Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for July the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2020. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, and our goal to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. July 2nd, 2020, hard-hitting talk, always. At your fingertips, we talked about this. Lauren Boebert pulls off a stunning upset with her 100-watt smile. She demonstrated she could indeed go toe-to-toe with Tipton, the five-term congressman. He's out, she's in. Boebert, quote, "I knew that I'd be outspent, and I probably will be again in the fall, but I got four boys, and I'm a mom. So I understand about running on a tight budget. I'm also a restaurant owner. That's a penny-pinching business, so I know how to get stuff done for less." She's the owner in Colorado of this restaurant we've talked quite a bit about that I really want to try to go to someday. Shooter's Grill and Rifle. Anyway, she does a tremendous job. And I want to...
Shooter's Grill that's in Rifle, Colorado. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so see, when they say place, Shooter's Grill and Rifle... It's hard to know. See, what they got to say is grill and rifle, in, and then rifle, and then I got to put
comma. Her place is called Shooter's Grill.
I got to put comma, C-O. Now it says in Rifle, Colorado. See, they don't do that, and it makes the headlines very hard to read. I got to help them with this. They're just ignorant in the press. I don't know why they do that stuff. But when it says grill and rifle, how do I know? Well, you could say, well, Sam, if you know the city of Rifle, then you'd know. Okay. But I don't know, right? But if you put Rifle, comma, space, CO, then guys like me can understand. Maybe I'm just too redneck for this, you know? But there you have it. Boebert doing a phenomenal job. And to those who say we can't win, we can't do any good, stick a fork in it, America's lost, it's over. You know, I don't agree with you at all. I'm not trying to be contrarian here, but I'm telling you, I believe, as we talked about Rand Paul last hour as well, he says we need to be optimistic here. And you know what? I believe this is the greatest country on the face of the earth. And I believe that this lady was inspired to run. And I'm grateful she did. And I stand completely behind her. And she's positive on the president. And I say good on them all. And again, when we stand up, good things happen. Not every time. We have devastating losses from time to time. I get it. But all I can tell you is this is a great example of good people doing good things and great results because of their wonderful efforts. All right, now I want to praise the president a little bit as well. They've decided to, they're getting rid of Chaz, Kurt. Did you see this? Chaz is out now, and they're all celebrating the reclamation of the Seattle area.
Chaz.
Well, don't say that because they called the place Chop, too, Kurt. So.
Yeah, that's the point.
They chopped Chaz, and then it became Chop, and now they've chopped Chop? I don't know. I don't dare say Suey, then they'll think I'm making fun of the Asians. Anyway, I digress except to bring this up, Kurt. I want to commend the President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump. And the reason that I do is because at the start he said, you know what, maybe we need to crack down here. He didn't do it, but he was highlighting the point that we got to have law and order in this country. And then to prove he's a law and order president, Kurt, he held back and didn't bring in the troops, didn't overrun the city or the state or anything else. He said, you know what, guys, this is not acceptable. But in his own realm in Washington, D.C., he set the standard. He says, I'm not going to let you destroy our monuments. We'll guard them if we have to. You're not going to destroy private and or public property on my watch. And so he set an example of how to do it and how not to do it. You're not going to create one of these cities in my area. And he really recommended they don't allow it in their areas either. But he didn't deliver the heavy hand. And so I really want to, you know, commend the president here for delivering an example in his own sphere, but yet suggesting, guys, you got to have law and order. You got to stop this. So he spoke out and gave his leadership opinion or guidance from what he would do. He backed it up in his own realm by example and by precept, if you will. He took action. He didn't just cower, but at the same time, he walked a very, very fine line. I personally believe admirably. How do you say that, Kurt? Admirably, there you go.
Yeah, admirably.
Admirably, okay. So
pretty tricky one.
This is an example where, you know what, I really commend him. It's a really fine line to walk. If he had talked about crushing everybody and then in his area they allowed this to go on, he would have lost credibility. If he would have stepped over the line and forced his will on the state or a city, he would have crossed the line. I think he walked a very fine line incredibly successfully. The mainstream press is never going to give him any credit for this. But I think it was a brilliant restraint / leadership / you know, he had to deal with it too. Anyway, I think a well done should shout out to the president on this. It's a really fine line, a really hard balance. How do you provide leadership and example and express your view to articulate, you know, the guidance that ought to be given? But yet, how do you not cross the line? And I think it was done quite masterfully, personally, Kurt. Do you want to respond to this?
Well, I agree. The president showed some, basically he said that, hey, the Constitution's got it set up here where I've got this job and those governors and mayors have their job. And, you know, I'm not going to, I disagree with how they're doing it, but I'm not going to go ahead and just, you know, run through there like a bull in a china shop, but just kind of like what the media standard thinks he would do. Does he get any credit for that? A little bit from you, but not anywhere in the, like, Washington Post or anybody else is going to be.
Well, and sad, because this is an example where they're always criticizing the president being too in your face. He'll just, you know, get all crazy and destroy everything, or else they say he's too timid to accomplish anything. He's all talk and no action. And, you know, when he gets it right, then they don't fairly, honorably defend where it ought to be. And I criticize the president on occasion. When I do believe it's warranted, I'm like, hey, I don't believe this is the way we ought to go. It's not that I'm criticizing him, but I'm criticizing the actions or the principle that's being violated or whatever else. Okay, but when he's right, why can't we give him credit for being right? Okay, he's saying, you're not going to destroy monuments in my area on my watch. You're not going to set up a fake city that becomes anarchy on my watch in my area. We're not doing that. And I'm going to put things in place to make sure you don't do that. I'm going to reach out to those in different jurisdictions and say, guys, you can't let law and order just devolve into anarchy. Okay, you got to stand up and stop it. Maybe we ought to step in and help you stop it. It was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but a little bit making the point that you guys got to step up to the plate now. But yet he didn't do it. He showed tremendous restraint. And he's shown restraint time and time again in the country, Kurt, where on masks, he hasn't mandated them. On shutting down places, he's left that up to the states. I can go on and on, but he's shown tremendous restraint in many situations. And I commend him. Even on the military, you could say, well, hey, he hasn't backed out of a lot of military engagements. Maybe not as many as I would like, I agree. But you know what? He hasn't just gone hawkish either. So, some tremendous leadership that he's not getting any credit for. All right. We talked about this yesterday, but Kurt wants to talk about it again. Law of the land, quote, monumental ruling for school choice at Supreme Court. President Trump has called this issue the, quote, civil rights statement of the year, Kurt.
Well, and I thought it was interesting just to dig into it a little bit more. Clarence Thomas,
Clarence Thomas is a different
before
story.
Before we get that, yeah, but he's, of course, part of the Supreme Court. The Montana Supreme Court had struck down the program in Montana that would allow some private scholarships to go to religious organizations or whatever. This is just a sliver. It's not any big thing that was going on there, but at least the Supreme Court said, hey, that's not fair. And it's just amazing to see in this piece by WorldNet Daily, they say the ruling is a significant victory for those who support school choice, which allows parents to choose the public school their child will attend. Now, it just says public school, so you know that at least means that hey, you're cramping down the choice. You're not allowing them any school. But anyway, it says rather than having their child assigned to a school based on where the family lives, Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos has focused many of her efforts on expanding school choice. Since she became the education secretary in 2017, we mentioned this idea that, you know, in these, typically these shoot 'em up cities like Chicago and New York or whatever, where the schools, the government schools, are just failing like you can't believe. Imagine if they really opened up the idea of true school choice, where people, the money would follow the student. There'd just be some massive changes. You'd have the good Catholics and so many other religious organizations offering schools, or offering to educate, and people could begin to choose where they want their education dollars to go. I, like you, Sam, would say that the government really has no real role in education and should have no spending going on there. But in the meantime, if we can at least move to true school choice, I think that's a great step in the right direction. And this is only a sliver of it, but it's nice to have a little bit of a win and to talk about it as a little bit more if we can. Thank you, Sam.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, Donald Trump, President of the United States, saying it's a monumental decision for the courts. Wow, Kurt agrees. Kurt?
Well, and, you know, you look at the other thing that he said was... school choice is the civil rights statement of the year, of the decade, and probably beyond. You know, he said this at a White House press conference, and then he says, because all children have to have access to a quality education. A child's zip code in America should never determine their future. Now, this story was published by the Daily Caller, but I think WorldNet Daily was who brought it forward. You know, in my opinion, they're forgetting, and the president you know, it would be wonderful if he could highlight the fact that the Republicans told us they were going to get rid of the Department of Education. And if you look at real education in America, it could happen just fine without the government involvement of it. But at least on the way to getting there, I hope you could have true choice where you could literally have churches and so many others providing their input. And you might even end up with places where people could see the Ten Commandments when they were going to school, like the good old days, Sam.
Yeah, how did Clarence vote on this education bill? Do you know?
He voted right there. The only, you know,
what does right
at least.
Mean? That doesn't help me.
Well, in other words, he voted to support the choice part of it. The justices voted 5-4, and so many times it's so close. They say Chief Justice John Roberts joined the conservative justices. That would be, you know, Clarence Thomas would be one of those. They got a 5-4 ruling. So it was pretty tight still. And then on the other one here, the where Chief Justice, or not Chief Justice,
start with
but
your headline.
Clarence Thomas. Yeah, the headline from World Net Daily says, Clarence Thomas erupts on his own Chief Justice. Scathing dissent in a 5-4 ruling against restrictions on abortion. This is a World Net Daily piece, and you know, it's a big rebuke. I guess it was a 20-page dissent. Thomas called the right to an abortion an erroneous precedent grounded in a legal fiction. Those are pretty strong words. He said this court created the right to abortion based on an amorphous, unwritten right to privacy, which it grounded in the legal fiction of substantive due process. As the origins of this jurisprudence readily demonstrate, the putative right to abortion is a creation that should be undone. They pointed out that, this is Clarence Thomas again, he pointed out that the Supreme Court in 1965, he tells you the case, acknowledged the Constitution did not protect a right to privacy. Instead, the court explained that this right could be found in the penumbras of 5 different amendments to the Constitution, the 1st, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 9th. Anyway, bottom line is Clarence Thomas was pretty... you know, assertive, or he brought out a lot of reasons why there should be no Roe v. Wade thing, and they should have no, protect these babies, and he's standing up strong. There's some who say that he might even retire, Sam. What do you think about that?
About what?
Clarence Thomas retiring. From the court.
I think it's probably necessary, but I think it's sad because he's been one of the strongest, in my opinion, constitutional conservatives on the court for 30 years or whatever.
Yeah, so, they say,
the only
I guess
reason
he's
I think
72.
It's about time is I don't believe in these people serving forever, whether they're competent or whether their health is there or not. I don't believe in just staying on there for political reasons. I believe serving as a judge, setting aside any partisan politics, obeying the supreme law of the land, interpreting the law, understanding the... that it's not an ever-changing, living, breathing document with opinions based on, you know, case precedent. It's based on the rule of law. It's based on God's law. It's based on morality. It's based on the principles of separations of powers. It's okay. And I think Justice Clarence Thomas has done an incredible job at that. And so it's sad that we lose him. However, I don't believe in just staying there for political reasons. Like, I don't want the other side to get their guy on the court. So I'm going to stay here even though I can't really work hardly and I can't really think through issues or whatever else. And so, you know what? I have respect for a gentleman that says, I've served my time. I've done my best. Now it's time for somebody else. I understand that, Kurt, and I don't necessarily disagree. I'm sad to lose a guy like Clarence, though. Now, I know they say he's black and I'm white, and therefore I don't like, you know, Thomas because I'm a racist. It's a lie. I think he's spot on and a great guy. And I think he was absolutely wrongfully abused back in the day when he became a member of the Supreme Court in the first place. And I think that he is a stand-up constitutional guy. He's been one of the – him and Scalia have been probably the two heroes of the court in my mind in my lifetime. Now, there's a few others who I wish would have got there, Robert Bork and others or whatever. But all I'm telling you is I think Clarence Thomas is a class act. I commend him for his work, and I wish him well in his retirement. I'm sad to lose him. I would say that's kind of my take, Kurt. What do you think?
Very good, Sam. I thought you'd have something to say on it. You know, he's even, I doubt that he'll really retire. He's 72 years old, where you got a couple of these ones in their 80s that are, you know, quite a bit more senior.
Yeah, but again, they're there for political reasons. They're not there because they should be. They're there because of political gamesmanship, if you will.
That's right. He seems to be on top of his game, I guess, recently on this whole abortion thing. He says, the fact that it took this court over a century to find a right, you know, this right to abortion, proves that it was more than hidden. It simply was not and is not there. He criticized Roberts for claiming to adhere to stare decisis, or the other, what that really means is precedent. It's the legal doctrine that gives deference to previous decisions. Thomas argued the justices exceed their constitutional authority whenever they apply demonstrably erroneous precedent instead of the relevant law's text. Because we can reconcile neither Roe nor its progeny with the text of our Constitution, those decisions should be overruled, he asserted. Because we lack jurisdiction and our abortion jurisprudence finds no basis in the Constitution, I respectfully dissent.
See, what a class act.
From Clarence Thomas. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Is that so, you know, and you, I know that, you know, from compared to some of the other justices, he's young and he's still got his mind with him. But he has every right to say, look, I'd like a few of my remaining years to be with my wife and my family and my loved ones. And, you know, I'd like to just not be under pressure forever going forward. And what I mean is there's some grace in, you know, I don't like the word retirement, I guess, because it makes it sound like you're just going to go sit around and sip tea and die. If that's what we're talking about, retirement, I don't think he should do it. I think he should stay there and deliver. At the same time, I do have respect for those who say I have some other pursuits in life that I'd like to get to, and they relate a little bit more to God, family, and a little less on country. I've served for 30-plus years. It's about time for somebody else to serve. I get that balance is what I'm trying to get at. And so it depends on what he intends to do in retirement on how I personally feel about it. If I was his personal advisor, I would discuss those things. And if your desire is to just... sip, pina coladas in Tahiti, then I'd say, no, sir, don't retire. If your job is to really focus on family and say, I got some family history I want to do, you know, I need to minister to my neighbors and I need to spend some time with my wife and my children and grandchildren. And, you know, and it's really a genuine retire for greater purposes. I support it. So I'm on the fence a little bit. I agree that he's younger than most, but I also don't believe people should just stay there for political reasons. And if you have either one, great aspirations that are, in my opinion, of a greater focus for the purpose of life, then I support it. That kind of thing. So it's a tough balance. And to really answer the question, I'd have to know more. But I will say this. I'm grateful for his service. I'll tell you that right now. All right. GOP senators, Kurt, join Black Lives Matter and propose canceling Columbus Day. Kurt, can I just stop and say, what the heck is wrong with these GOP people? They have gone cuckoo, buddy.
Well, there's a number of them. I think it's probably the same group that want to replace, get rid of that holiday and then put in Juneteenth as a holiday. You know, nobody's talking about getting rid of all these federal holidays where you got to pay the bureaucrats to not work, but that would be a step in the right direction, wouldn't it?
What, getting rid of all holidays?
Well, no. You don't eliminate the holidays, but you don't pay people not to work.
So you're saying keep the holidays and let them off work and no pay?
Just like the rest of us. If you don't work, Sam, do you get paid?
Depends. Some places I get paid, some places I don't. If I've got a salary, I do, yeah.
Well, if it's in your agreement, I guess, but I just think we pay those bureaucrats way too much money for too little work.
Yeah, you heard about the Seattle police officer stuff I did on Saturday. They get like 300, 400 grand per cop.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
According to Johns Hopkins University, there were more than 52,000 new infections nationwide. It's the biggest single-day surge in the coronavirus pandemic. The surge is causing more states to halt reopening plans or impose new restrictions. Governor Gavin Newsom is shutting down indoor activities for at least 3 weeks in 19 California counties.
Restaurants, movie theaters, zoos, museums.
The order includes shutting down bars and beach parking lots. Vice President Mike Pence traveled to coronavirus hotspot Arizona. Hospitals there are hiring out-of-state medical workers to handle the overload of patients.
We're going to make sure that Arizona has whatever it takes to meet this moment, to slow the spread, to flatten the curve, to save lives.
This is USA Radio News.
When thinking about life insurance, my accident reinforced you never know what tomorrow might bring. That's why I reached out to AccuQuote. AccuQuote helps people find a life insurance policy that meets their needs. Since 1986, they've helped millions of folks save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. Longer or permanent terms are available. Even if you already own life insurance, you really need to check out my friends at AccuQuote. Don't worry about health issues. Remember, they help me. As a pastor, I'm concerned about your soul and helping you to make sure your family is taken care of. Life insurance is more affordable now than ever, so don't make them wish you'd made that call. 877-437-4781. Call now, 877-437-4781. 877-437-4781.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
The crowd was overjoyed in Richmond, Virginia. The crowd braved a thunderstorm as they watched the statue of General Stonewall Jackson come down. City Councilman Mike Jones.
It is just awesome to see these young protesters create what Martin Luther King called the beautiful community.
There's big changes coming to social media, not just fact-checking, but also in advertising. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
Expect Facebook to look a bit different this month. Over 400 advertisers are launching a boycott starting today. The companies are taking part in the Stop Hate for Profit campaign. They've all promised they won't spend money on Facebook ads during the month of July. The boycott coming after several civil rights groups have accused the social media giant of allowing hate speech and misinformation spread across its platform.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, they want to get rid of Christopher Columbus Day. Who's they? I'm not sure, ladies and gentlemen. GOP senators are joining Black Lives Matter now, folks. I'm telling you, we're running off the rails, man. Okay, if we get rid of Columbus Day, then what do we get rid of next, Kurt? We just get rid of Christmas and replace it with Kwanzaa?
Well, like you always say, Sam, you know, the Savior Jesus Christ is in their crosshairs. They want to get rid of that whole thing as well. That, you know, and these are not, you know, just disgruntled Americans. These are communists that basically are trying to overthrow America.
I agree with that for sure. Now, I personally believe that Easter should be one of the great days, even above Christmas, Kurt.
Very good. But do you think, at least I would prefer that the government not be paying people to celebrate Easter. I'd like to have the government out of it. And, you know, we could celebrate it as it was celebrated for many years before.
There you go. I'd have to study the history to know what we used to do with holidays, if we paid people or not or whatnot. And stuff like that. But your point's well taken that, hey, why does it have to be a paid day? You know, they talk about millions and millions of dollars for just a single day, don't they?
Yep.
All right, Kurt wants to talk about a sheriff. I wish I had this guy's name in the headline. Why don't they tell me the people's names in headlines, Kurt?
Well, Jack Davis has got this piece at the Western Journal, you know, they do great work, I think. But in this case, we're just talking about the Los Angeles sheriff, L.A. County. The headline reads, L.A. County announces beaches will be closed for July 4th weekend. Sheriff has other plans. And that's, you know, of course, you know, you've got the governor there that's basically shutting down things. County Health Department said that all beaches in the county are going to be closed. The mayor, by the way, is, backing him or whatever. But they say the order angered some residents. L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva indicated it has no teeth. He says, "We were not consulted on the beach closure and will only assist our beach cities in closing parking lots and traffic enforcement on the PCH, which is the Pacific Coast Highway, if you're not familiar with PCH. They say, in regards to enforcing the beach closure, he says, "We will not be enforcing it because we are care first, jail last," Villanueva said. So, anyway, do you expect anybody to go to the beach, Sam? What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah, buddy. People are going to the beach, bro. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And
Sam,
I agree with the sheriff, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, they could all just say they were protesting, right, Sam?
Darn right. Then they'd have carte blanche approval.
If you're protesting, you know, you can go wherever you want. I mean,
and do whatever you want, too, Kurt.
Yeah, I mean, you know, bust up stuff, but I don't recommend that.
In fact, did you hear the new study they came out with, Kurt?
What's that, Sam?
Let's see. New study basically says, hey, rioters, study slows the spread of coronavirus. What does you say? Not the study. Study says that rioting riots slow the spread of coronavirus, Kurt, is the new study WorldNet Daily's highlighting.
There you go, Sam. I mean, that just shows you, if you could just call any of these things
isn't
a riot,
awesome?
Or a protest, or a, you know, maybe you call it looting because you're building a sandcastle on the beach, you know.
And you want to know the coolest part about it?
What's that?
Government agrees. yeah.
Good.
I mean, the virus knows when it's a riot, dude, versus just you trying to be like, go to church or something goofy like that, you know. And so the virus knows, man, when you want to riot, then it's cool and it backs off. And when you want to go to church, it just goes crazy. You know what I'm talking about?
Great point. Of course I am.
And you see how just illogical this really is, folks? How just,
you know,
against anything good, honorable, right it is? I mean, study claims riots slow the spread of the coronavirus? I don't even know what they're talking about, Kurt. First off, how do you conduct a study like that? How do you get it done so quick? The study goes on and says, listen, there's no proof that the rioters spread the coronavirus. How do they know that already, Kurt?
That's a great point, Sam.
And if
it's
we have
kinda
these
like
outbreaks,
when they
then
know
how do you know there's
you're
outbreaks at the same time that they weren't responsible for it? How do you know that at the same time?
It's kind of like they know how, like, if you're a racist, Sam, I mean,
oh, good
they
point.
Just
they
know.
Just say so. And that's just the end of that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how they know global warming's real. Never mind the science. We're just telling you it's real, and you're a denier, and you're the enemy. See?
Good
it's
point.
Just, wow, folks. All right, Kurt wants to tell you about another politician. This is from Kurt's 25 series of stories, 0625. Election
Thank
2020
you.
Stunning. Upset a 24-year-old constitutionalist, Kurt.
Well, yeah, and this is, you know, there's just a few of these highlights like this, but this guy, his name is Cawthorn. in a first name Madison, a 24-year-old CEO of a real estate investment company, and he's a motivational speaker. Well, he won the Republican runoff in North Carolina's 11th district. He had received more than 65% of the vote against Linda Bennett, and he's, they say, likely to win the November election for the what they call safe Republican seat. It was formerly held by North Carolina's Rep. Mark Meadows. He declined to run for re-election and joined the Trump administration as the chief of staff earlier in the year. They say if this guy wins, he would be the one of the youngest people ever elected to Congress. His primary victory came as, they say, a stunning upset. This lady had been endorsed by the president and Ohio Rep. Jim Jordan. But the thing is, you kind of think, well, that means this guy Cawthorn's completely opposed to the president. Well, not really. He just, you know, didn't get the, you know, little stamp of approval. But, you know, he's a big supporter of President Trump. And they call him he said in a statement that he would work tirelessly for smaller, leaner government. He's a constitutional conservative. He's committed to defending the values of faith, family, and freedom. His campaign website says once on his way to the U.S. Naval Academy that in 2014, he was left partially paralyzed after surviving a horrific car accident. He credits the tragic incident with building his faith, making him a fighter, and allowing him to inspire others. According to his campaign website, you know, so the bottom line is this is another, imagine having him and this lady that's packing the heat going to Washington, D.C. I mean, you might have some people breaking up the system. Remember what she said about her deal where she said, I think the House of Representatives should be a house of the people, you know. And I think the Senate ought to fix that too, because it's supposed to be represented by the states. As we know from the 17th Amendment as well. So
yes, yeah, so we should have a lot more congressmen too, because when you look at the relationship to the people, there's supposed to be more congressmen, but we never followed that either. So yeah. There you have that.
There
See,
you go.
I think we should have, what, yeah. You know, 10,000 congressmen at this point or something?
Well, whatever, so that we had real representation instead of, you know, just a bunch of rich guys that don't even listen to the
Yeah, like
citizens.
In Utah, we got like 800,000 to one or something. It's supposed to be like, what, at the most 35,000, Kurt?
I think that was the number.
So 20 times the amount of congressmen, at least in Utah's case, for example, approximately. You know, so 20 mm-hmm. times 4 would have 80 just in Utah alone, right?
Yeah, it would be a lot. At least I think you could, you know, I know that some would say, well, yeah, but look, the House, you can't even fit them all in there. Well,
don't need to.
You know,
the Lord put technology on the planet so we don't have to meet all together.
Right.
Corona proved that reality. I've been telling everybody that for years, and they used to laugh at me, and now Corona made me right, and them, well, I have to admit that I'm right. Kind of a discussion, right?
Good point, Sam.
All right. Not that I want to be right. It is that I want to have that many Congress representatives because I want to follow the law. Kurt wants to talk about Universal Orlando. Theme parks open up. Things are great. Well, wait, not so fast. Kurt, hang tight.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kurt Cosby on your radio. So Orlando's in the news, Kurt.
Well, that's right. There's a place, if you go to Orlando, you got all these places you used to be able to go to anyway, but the headline here reads Universal Orlando laying off workers just 2 weeks after reopening. The cuts come after Universal Studios of Florida, Universal Islands of Adventure, and Universal's Volcano Bay reopened and with reduced capacity and new safety measures. Sam, people don't really want to go party at a place where everybody's got a mask on and you can't sit by each other and you can't, you got to stand over here and you got to do all that stuff. A lot of them just prefer to stay home, I think. Next story kind of goes with it. I think you've got 140,000 businesses listed on Yelp are still closed because of COVID-19 pandemic. They're closed not because, I guess you could say, because of the government's reaction to that, I think. It says retailers and restaurants are hardest hit. There's a surge in searches for black-owned businesses, they say. What do you think is going to happen in New York, Sam? Is New York just going to end up as a ghost town? New York and, places like L.A.?
Oh, no. They're just going to roll out at universal basic incomes for everybody, and everybody's going to just chill, buddy. Everybody's just going to hang out and watch Netflix.
Yeah, okay. So I guess they just get all their stuff delivered via Amazon.
Sure.
They won't need a local grocery store or anything like that.
They'll just mandate masks and then open up the stores, and then they'll create more and more and more restrictions. Like, if your birthday ends in a Y, then you can go on this. I'm just kidding. If your birthday is a certain date, then you can this or that. Or if you're even or odd, like they used to do gas back in the 70s. Or they'll just start to ration and control. Remember, that's part of the Communist Manifesto, my friend. You just ration and control, and you just divide up the people 66 ways from Sunday. So if you're a certain age, or if you're a male, or you're a female, or you're black, or you're white, they'll find the fault lines, and then they'll, And so they'll let people kind of go to the stores in very limited control methods, or they'll work on ways to deliver to your door, let you, make an order online and then pull up and they'll load your car for you. They'll find ways to go ahead and, manipulate it all into existence. That's how they roll. But 140,000 businesses listed on Yelp still shut down. They say that, food places, restaurants, and everything hit the hardest, no doubt. No doubt about that. It's a sad tale to tell. Speaking of food, though, this is an example, Kurt. New tests are out by Consumer Reports, Kurt.
Let's see. Is that in that same group of stories?
Yes, sir. Headline says, tests by Consumer Reports find toxic metals
in
Starkey Spring water. And they basically say, hey, that's a big problem. And they recalled it for exceeding federal limits, Kurt. Don't you know? You can't exceed federal limits, buddy. And it's sold on Amazon.
Constitution? You kind of wonder, Where did the federal government get this right to make limits for what's in the water? But anyway,
underestimate the power of your government, buddy.
Good point. If you didn't have enough to worry about, maybe your water's got, arsenic, I guess, Sam, huh?
Yeah. I don't understand what your problem is. Kurt, you want arsenic in the water? What kind of a bad guy are you?
Imagine if people just kind of did that social distancing thing, Sam, and we spread out across America. If you followed the Constitution and you made it so that the federal government didn't control like 85% of Nevada.
I heard that.
Actually
be able to get a piece of land now, buddy.
Well, I think so.
See, because right now I've been researching and I wanted to buy myself like 300 acres, 320 acres in Millard County, Utah or whatever. And I, was really serious about it and everything else. And then I had trouble getting water and the water was really, 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 really expensive. And then I finally figured out the water piece. And then I'm like, hey, I can make 10 acre, 20 acre lots out of this thing, 5 acre lots. And, I could make a bunch of money and buy myself some land and do good for, create almost a little town, if you will. And then they're like, oh, no, you can't do anything smaller than 50 acres on that, Sam. And so I'm like, well, then I don't want it. I mean, all I get is 6 pieces out of it, Kurt, if I'm lucky.
Yep.
Well, I don't want 6 pieces. I don't need 50 acres. I only need 5 or 10 maybe. Or 2.5 or whatever.
Well, maybe you should just protest, Sam.
I want little ranchettes.
Protest.
But how would I protest? That just tased me and shut me down.
By just telling them, hey, we're not going to follow your thing on our land. We're just going to do it the way we want.
Well, then they'll toss me in the clink like Hammond Bundy and say I'm an insurrectionist.
Well,
and then a couple of years later, I'll get out and they'll tase my attorney and I won't be guilty of anything. The FBI will be guilty of a bunch of crimes and there'll be no accountability. And do you really want all that?
Does sound like a fun time.
I'd kind of rather stay home with my family and eat popcorn, personally. How dumb am I?
Like that.
I'm just a sunshine patriot. That's why.
Yeah, good point.
I'm just going to drink my toxic metal water. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, good point.
Peter Strzok is in the news, Kurt.
He is. All right. Which one's this?
Yeah, how many Peter Strzok stories do you have? This one is Peter Strzok's notes found from the key period right before the White House meeting on Michael Flynn. Notes.
Right? Well, you keep hearing about these
Kurt's
guys.
24 series of stories.
The 24th. Way. Okay, thank you. You keep hearing about these different people, and yet none of them go to jail. Our buddies are in jail, Steve Stockman, and yet so many of these other ones, they just seem to keep rolling along, doing whatever they want. And this, like you said, this headline, Peter Strzok's, Rush Limbaugh calls him Strzok Stroke, that says notes found from key period before White House meeting on Michael Flynn. It's funny how every so often they'll just find some new, info around there. I guess it's like they're cleaning up around the White House and they dig stuff up and they find it under the couch covers or, cushions or something like that. But this one, the Breitbart piece, says the Justice Department notified Michael Flynn's attorney, Sidney Powell, great attorney, by the way, that there was a page of notes found from then FBI agent Peter Strzok, or Strzok. Okay, Strzok. That is believed to have been taken between January 3rd and January 5th. I don't know how they know that, but they say it's a key period when the FBI had almost dropped its investigation against Flynn, but Strzok, had intervened and the Obama White House held a meeting on Flynn. This page of notes was found by the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Missouri. Wonder what he was doing and looking around in there. Attorney General Bill Barr had appointed to look into the FBI's handling of the investigation into Flynn. So this guy's looking around, finding some new info. They say
DOJ. Yeah, and
the
you can expect accountability with that info. See, they did the same thing to Ammon Bundy that they did to Flynn. ain't no harm, no foul. Yeah. We'll let you go. But by golly, you sure served a bunch of time for nothing. And the criminals that attacked you and abused you and violated the law to criminally charge you with no real evidence. And the facts are that you fraudulently built your case against the innocent. None of that's going to have accountability, Kurt. And until it does, we're not going to get anywhere. It's just going to happen over and over and over and over. Who's next is the only question you got to ask yourself.
Yeah, they say on January 5th, 2017, then-President Obama, you know, because remember the new president would have been January 21st or so when we were back there for the inauguration of the president, President Trump. But anyway, President Obama and Vice President Joe Biden were there at that meeting. It says Susan Rice and a host of other top administration officials convened and discussed Flynn's private phone calls with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak.
Who knows? The thing goes on so long, you'll never get a handle on the complications of the case, right?
Well, anyway, the bottom line is, I believe the evil goes right to the top, Obama, Biden, and all that kind of stuff, and that they were spying on the president, President Trump's campaign and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they went after this Michael Flynn guy. And at least now, like in this Breitbart piece, it says Flynn was not just any private citizen. He was soon to take over as national security advisor. And speaking to hundreds of foreign officials during the transition period after the election, these notes from Strzok or whoever, whatever his name is, and another FBI agent, Joe Pinetka, showed that neither believed Flynn lied during their interview. However, special counsel prosecutors charged Flynn with lying. So, you know, man, when you've got all that dirty stuff in the DOJ and the FBI and stuff, there's sure a lot of house cleaning needs to go on, huh, Sam?
Yes, but again, you know, I don't mean to be rude, but unless there's accountability, I don't know what it matters.
I agree.
I'm not trying to say that your point of bringing it up doesn't matter. It's worthy to bring it up because the more news we can bring about it, maybe there will be accountability. But unless we the people push for accountability, folks, and it starts with knowledge about it, right? You can't do something about something you don't know about. So it's good to bring it up, and it's good to focus on it, and it's good to highlight the double standard and the disparities for sure. But we the people need to demand. You know what? This is criminal. By Strzok and company, by Strzok and Barack and, you know, all these people. And you got to do something about it, man. The lock them up chance from President Trump should not have been idle campaign rhetoric. It should be double down realistic. We're going to give you, no doubt, due process of law. No doubt, we're going to have transparency in the discovery here. But you know what? We're going to prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law for your criminal activity. We just are. Okay, that should be, in my opinion, the rallying cry for today. We shouldn't be out in the streets destroying statues. We should be literally telling President of the United States, President Trump, and the House, and the Senate, and all those who represent us, you know what? We expect accountability for criminal acts here. You know what? Ammon Bundy did nothing wrong and is free. Where are the criminals who made that happen? And why are they not in prison? Okay, same thing with Flynn. Same thing with bogus allegations against Trump, who made up all this fake dossier and these allegations that never stuck. There needs to be accountability for this sooner than later. And if we don't get that done, shame on us, meaning we the people. And I'm not trying to be offensive, but I'm saying, man, we're not going to do well, Kurt, if we just let this stuff go. Because you know that it will just continue. Anyway, there you have it. For whatever that's worth, huh, Kurt?
Good point, Sam. Yeah.
All right, last point. Kurt needs to tell you about, Tucker Carlson story real quick, Kurt.
Tucker Carlson. Let's see if I can find old Tucker on here. I don't see it, Sam. Go ahead and tell him.
All right, I was actually trying to save the notes here for the hour. Let me go down.
Sorry.
And look this up.
I will say this about Tucker. I think he's.
Hold on, you told me to get this article for you, buddy.
Well, I just figured you didn't have it, so
I know, but I have to get it because you said to. So I stopped everything. And Tucker Carlson.
Okay.
Atlanta officer Garrett Ralph. Her stepmother fired from her job. She got fired. Tucker's